Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, May 6, 2016. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And I hope you're having a good day.
Sure. Why not?
Sure. Well, you know, I can hope as much as I want. And yeah. and if I believe hard enough, then that makes it so.
Really?
Well, I'm going to keep telling myself that.
Okay. Well, that is in keeping with the entire philosophy. So giddy up.
Thank you. Also, if I clap, that makes the fairies stay alive, right?
Yes.
Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Yoink. And we'll be talking about that soon, which is pretty awesome. But before we do that, Brian, there's the news that came out that that one of the vice presidents working under Angela Ahrendts in Apple's retail division has left the company. And I'd tell you his name, but I just forgot it. It's Ken something.
Well, I think we have...
If we have some sort of technology that would help with this, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think we actually do, in fact, have the technology to do with this. I'm saying that because I am... it's Bob Cuppins.
Bob Cuppins. Man, I had the name totally wrong.
Yeah, I was stalling for time as hard as I could.
You're doing great. I was riveted. Okay, so yeah. Bob Cuppins.
Top men. It's a good thing the top men from ACM are in charge of this particular episode here.
Top men. Anyhow, so Mr. Cuppins has left Apple and has a new job somewhere else.
Yeah, and Mark Gurman at 9 to 5 Mac is doing his usual excellent reporting to bring us this news. He started at Apple in 2014, and he has his domain, so to speak, has been Apple's online retail efforts.
Okay, so this would be the online store, which previously was its own separate entity on the Apple site, but now is deeply integrated throughout the entire site.
Yeah, and I'm cranky about that myself.
You know, I was cranky at first also, and in retrospect, I think my crankiness was the whole thing with just the natural human state of getting anxiety over change.
Right, I hear that, and I say screw that because I think that the integrated store is less easy to use than the separate store.
Most of the time, I find the integrated store easier to use. I say most of the time because if I need to go find a specific accessory, good luck. Because searching for accessories is just it's a disaster.
To be fair, the integration that was done is beautiful. It's smooth. It's attractive. I mean, Apple's website has never looked better than it does today. And to that end, on the store side of things, Mr. Cuppins is to be congratulated for a job well done. My problem is that I think that a better solution would have been to integrate the Apple Store with the rest of the Apple site and still keep a separate Apple Store, store.apple.com, for quick shopping.
All right, I can see that as a reasonable compromise. However, Apple doesn't seem like a compromise kind of company. They tend to go all in when they make a change.
This is a compromise. I'm not asking for one thing to be short and, you know, for Apple to make some sacrifices here. I think that would have been a better solution. It's not a compromise. It's an improvement.
You know, I have a problem here. And the problem is that I feel that discovery is better overall with the Apple Store being integrated with the rest of the site. And at the same time, I think discovery is also really, really difficult, which humans are complex animals.
Well, so, no, those two statements aren't necessarily at odds. Discovery could be improved and still be an S show.
Okay. Yes, I'll accept that. What I like is that when I am researching products on the Apple Store, meaning Apple's specific core products, so that's computers, phones, tablets, that sort of stuff, I don't have any problem finding what I'm looking for. I like that I can pick two Mac models just arbitrarily or more and just compare them side by side, which was not that easy to do before.
Well, again, having the best of both worlds would be a better implementation than having it be just another way, or having it be just the one way. And I think when it comes for discoverability, I get what you're saying, but if I'm wanting to shop with Apple products, it'd be a lot easier if I could just go shop Apple products.
I agree. And at the same time, I don't. I'm horrible in this discussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. I use the Apple Store online all the time. And I use the Lego store online all the time. This statement in and of itself probably says a lot about me.
Mm-hmm.
However, this gives me the opportunity to compare an integrated store and a standalone store side by side. Apple's is integrated. The Lego store, they have their main site. You click a button to start shopping. And it takes you to a completely different website, which is just their shopping website. And what I found is that jumping back and forth between the two is really difficult, and ultimately, it's just easier for me to use only the shopping site for Lego. So all the new products that they want to highlight and show me, and that I probably want to know about on some level, I don't see, because I'm just going to the store and looking for the one thing that I want to buy. Whereas on the Apple site, I can be looking for something and then realize, oh, there's this other thing I should compare it to. Like maybe you're looking at laptops and now you're comparing a MacBook Air to a MacBook. And
well, you could do the compare. You can have a comparison feature in a separate store. And so it kind of sounds like what you're telling me is that Lego has provided you with a couple of different ways to consume the site. You have chosen the one that works better for you, and you're somehow suggesting that that's a bug, not a feature.
Yes, somehow I am absolutely suggesting that. How about that?
Balderdash! Nonsense!
I think in the case of the Lego store, it is kind of a bug, not a feature, because there. Maybe here's the problem. Lego has not done a very good job with their primary site at making it integrate well with a shopping experience. It's cool. Just kind of this thing you tumble through. But what Apple has done for the most part is integrated the shopping experience pretty well into the rest of the discovery and just viewing experience.
I readily grant you that. And Mr. Cuppins deserves massive credit for successfully doing so. I would just like to see the separate store.apple.com still exist. It's easier to shop. It was easier to shop there than I think it is today.
And what I'm finding is that it's easier, generally speaking. And yes, I know the fact that I have to qualify my statement says a lot.
Dude.
Yeah, it's a, hey, check it out. My if this then that recipes work. Because
excellent.
My air conditioner just turned on. Anyhow, it'll turn off in a minute. So what I'm saying is that overall, I'm liking the Apple experience, but it definitely needs improvement.
All right. Fair enough. I guess. And the real point here is that Bob Cuppins is left. He was brought in 2014, right?
Yes.
And he reported directly to Angela Ahrendts, although he came in before she did. He actually started before she started. And according to 9to5Mac, he left to take a gig elsewhere. So the question is whether or not he was leaving Apple or actually pursuing another opportunity.
Right. And at this point, we don't know.
I can't imagine the world in which his departure was involuntary, because he has done, in addition to being responsible for this store thing we've been talking about, which a lot of people do like. I don't think I'm in the majority there. He also rolled out the online iPhone upgrade program,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't available online previously before he did it. And he was doing a lot with connecting Apple's online stores with their physical stores. All of those things, I think you could call a raging success. So it's hard mm-hmm. to imagine that he was in any way whatsoever forced out. And he instead left to take another opportunity, which kind of begs the question of why you would do that.
Yes, it does. My guess is that you're right. He left for another opportunity. Whatever this opportunity was, I'm betting was probably a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, probably a significant opportunity for him.
Yeah. So good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. And, you know, he definitely did some solid work while he was at Apple.
Yeah, he did. And hopefully wherever he goes, he's going to have just a killer time. Yeah. Hey, did I mention that we have a sponsor this week?
You did, but tell us about it, because sponsors help pay the bills and keep us doing what we do.
They do. And the great tie-in to what you just said, Brian, is that this app helps you keep doing the things you do as well. And it's Yoink. It's from Eternal Storms. And what it does is it lets you create this repository on your Mac where anything that you need to copy or move can just sit. And then it's just this little repository, this waiting space where you can drop stuff in so that when you need to move it where it needs to go, or when you need to put it into the document it's supposed to be in, it's just there waiting for you. And what I found is that it's actually turned out to be a very valuable tool for me. And at first I was thinking, because I have a giant screen and it's easy to line up windows, I could move stuff around very easily, why would I need a utility like Yoink? And then I started using it and I realized, oh, actually this is really great, because it's really easy to use and actually handy. Like yesterday, I needed to move a bunch of files that I had been downloading via Safari, but they all needed to go to different folders. So what I did was I just selected all these things from the Safari drop-down download menu thing, dropped them into Yoink. So they're just sitting there patiently waiting. And then I went and got all my windows open, and then I just moved them over where they need to go. And it saved me a lot of time, and it wasn't something that I would have even considered doing before having Yoink.
Nice.
Yeah. And I've been dropping elements from Photoshop documents in there that, you know, like sometimes I need to have an iMac in two or three different graphics. So I just copy it and put it in there, and now I've got it, and I can put it back in the other documents when I need it. And it's really cool. It's awesome. So I'm really glad that Yoink has been our sponsor this week. It costs only $6.99. You can go check it out at their website, eternalstorms.at/TDO. And that's eternalstorms.at/TDO. And only $6.99. Totally awesome. So go check it out. And Yoink, thank you for being our sponsor this week. And Brian, as long as we are here, I kind of think I need a reality check, and I'm hoping you will help me with this, because you're a straight shooter. You tell it like it is.
I generally speaking do, yes.
Okay, so here's the deal. Earlier this week, I was talking about how if Apple made a smoke detector, that I wouldn't be interested in buying it, and the reason being is because the way Apple has handled HomeKit has not instilled a sense of faith in me that they could make a smoke detector that would communicate reliably with the rest of the devices in my house and accurately and reliably do the thing it's supposed to do, which is tell me if my house is on fire so I can get out.
Well, I disagree with the notion that Apple couldn't make a smoke detector that worked, which is kind of what you're saying.
Well, I think they could make one that works. It's the network part that has me worried. The communication with other devices. That's where I get worried.
I mean, I'm kind of with you there, and I have a more particular concern.
Okay.
My particular concern is that whether or not it worked out of the gate, my worry would be that Apple would blow it off and just sort of, you know, that it would become one of the many product lines that Apple introduces and then just, you know, neglects because they move those people onto something else. And that, I mean, that to me is how HomeKit feels as a whole. And that's at the heart of your concern here. Apple introduced HomeKit, has done nothing with it. We're not seeing good HomeKit stuff. We're just not. And we should be, because it's a killer concept. Someone is going to make home automation work. And if it's not Apple, it'll be someone else. And Apple, considering Apple's entire ecosystem concept, this is an area that Apple should be doing right. And I don't feel that Apple is doing it right now.
And I'm with you. My experience tells me that HomeKit, and so by extension, Apple's ability to allow connected devices in our homes to interact reliably, it's just not there. I mean, I came home last night, and I was not surprised when only one light in my place turned on, even though there should have been five different lights that activated because I came home. And I'm more surprised when I come home and the lights are actually on. And shutting off the lights at night. So one of the last things I do when I climb in bed at night is I do the Yo Siri line and say, turn off all the lights. And sometimes all the lights go off. Sometimes only a couple go off. Sometimes Siri will say that she can't do that right now. And it's a crapshoot. I just don't know what's going to happen. So if I can't be comfortable with my lights shutting off with Apple's platforms, why should I be comfortable believing that they could make a smoke detector talk on the network reliably? And
these are the kinds of things we want Apple to do well.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like we were so excited about Nest. First of all, it was co-founded by Tony Fadell, the father, the godfather, the grandfather, whatever, of the iPod, depending on your perspective. And, you know, and so that's exciting. And the product idea was neat, and it had all this network integration. And then Nest introduces the Protect, the integrated smoke and carbon monoxide detector.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only going to talk to your phone, it's going to, you know, they had the hand wavy thing which went away. They had I still think the killer feature is the light that lets you know that the battery is going out, so the darn thing doesn't start chirping away at you. And that sounds exciting too, but then Google buys them. And now I know that my home life, you know, the information that's dealing with Nest and the information that's being generated by Nest and the Nest thermostat and the information that's being generated by the smoke detector is eventually going to become part of the profile that they're selling on me. And I don't want that. What I want is for Apple to do something similar or even better, where I know they're going to protect my information. This is something we want Apple to do well.
Yes, we do.
And we want Apple to do it well because we want to be able to trust these devices. We want them to work, and we want the data that they're generating to be safe and secure and not used to profit on us.
Yep, I'm with you there. Yep. Hey, we are about out of time, but I wanted to share one of the emails that I got in response to my whole smoke detector HomeKit concerns.
Yeah, our readers weren't feeling the love.
No, they weren't. But Ash sent an email that while Ash disagrees or is not having the same experience that I'm having, at least has some love. So thank you for the love, Ash. So I'm going to quote from Ash's email. Mm-hmm. I got 99 problems and HomeKit ain't one. I love that line. Mm-hmm. Listening to yesterday's podcast has me wondering if I'm the only person on earth that has a great user experience with HomeKit. So far, I fitted my home with 2 Ecobee thermostats, 8 Lutron Cassetta switches, 4 First Alert OneLink smoke carbon detectors, and I just ordered the new HomeKit August smart lock. Without giving you a long drawn out story about how my HomeKit life is better than yours, I can honestly say that all my HomeKit hardware works about 98% of the time, and the 2% is usually from user error like pronunciation. And it goes on from there, and it's thank you, Ash, for the email. And I'm glad that your HomeKit experience is going better than mine. And I'm not giving up. I have an Ecobee. I have some Lutron Cassetta switches. I have Hue lights. And I have Eve outdoor and indoor environment sensors set up. I even have an Eve door sensor set up that right now can't actually really talk to anything. So all I know is how often my door opens or closes. And I'm looking forward to the day when this is all working reliably, and I'm just going to keep banging my head on that HomeKit wall until it does.
Yeah, and I am hopeful here. I'm just not currently confident. HomeKit right now feels like one of those things that Apple is going to blow off. It just does.
I hope you're wrong, but if you are correct, then at least I know that the routine that I've been using, which actually popped up right in the middle of today's show, if this, then that, is working very reliably. And I had to shut off my recipe that turns on my Wemo switch and activates the air conditioner for me so that it wouldn't pop up again during the show. Mm. But hey, it's reliable. If this, then that has been just rock solid for me. So at least there's that.
At least there's that.
Yeah. Hey, we are out of time. So
okay.
Thank you for being here today, Brian.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And Yoink from Eternal Storms, thank you for being our sponsor all week long. Head over to their website. They have a video there so you can check out all the stuff that I was talking about with drag and drop and magic. Eternalstorms.at/TDO. And it's only $6.99. Totally worth getting. I'm really glad that I have this app on my computer. Listeners, thank you for joining us, and thank you for the feedback. You guys rock, even when you disagree with me. I'm totally cool with that. We'll see everyone again next week.